opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. Welcome to the Startup Podcast, episode number 89. My name is Dan Vonderhyde. I'm your cordial host every week as we sit down and talk to somebody who's doing something and making things happening in the world of startups in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm coming to you from the Metro Business Center at Dundee and Douglas in Louisville's Highlands. I appreciate you coming back. If you're interested in who we've had on the show in the past, by all means, you can scope out the full lineup and listen to every single episode I've done. This is number 89. They're all on the website at Louisville.am. We've had some big names in the Louisville scene on the show in the past, and some companies that are no longer around. So you can kind of hear what their vision was at the time, and perhaps at some point I'll do a follow-up with them and find out what happened, see what they're working on next. This week we talk with one of the Velocity Southern Indiana attendees. It's Andrew Clawier. I think I double-checked the pronunciation of his name when he was in here. And that was a week ago. So, Andrew, it's been a week. I may have forgotten how to pronounce that. Andrew Clawier from Groom HQ. He's a single dude, not getting married, but he has participated in many weddings. His friends actually came up with this idea and handed him the keys to this thing, and they're still involved. And it's a real interesting story about how these guys are doing what they're doing. And they're just really newly into it. This was dreamed up not too long ago, and they were accepted into the Velocity Lean Startup Program. So listen in to Andrew Clawier, and we'll see what he has to say about working in Lean. As always, if you want to support the show, you want to support the Louisville.am network, you can subscribe to any of our shows on iTunes. You can rate them and leave a review behind, which helps us in the iTunes rankings. You can listen on the Stitcher radio app also. It's great for me measuring things, which, of course, in any business, you've got to measure stuff. And you can share with a friend. It's critical if you send a link via email or on your social networks or whatever. I certainly appreciate that. Or you could certainly sponsor any of our shows. We do have sponsors for several of them. This show is unsponsored as of now, so if you want to reach the startup community, I think I may have an opportunity for you to do that. But enough of my yakking. Let's get started with Andrew Clawier from Groom HQ here on the Startup Podcast. It really does sound
good. I feel intimacy, though.
Do you? Maybe I should get a bigger room. It heats up in here. Because I mean, it's 17 degrees outside, but this room is small, and I have the heating vent open, so... Anyway, if you get hot, I'll get you a glass of water. Give us the quick rundown of you. What's your story? You told me off mic you're 28.
Yes.
So you've been out in the wild for a few years at least. I mean, you're not growing any gray hair yet, but you have some experience under your belt. What is said experience?
So, well, based on my experience, I'm pretty surprised they don't have any gray hairs. Mm-hmm. I recently just moved back to Louisville from Orange County out in Southern California.
Yeah,
I was stationed out there at Camp Pendleton in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
So I spent the last 3 years out there as a infantry officer, light armored reconnaissance. Took a platoon to Afghanistan, came back, and then worked my way up from executive officer to company commander, and actually got out of the Marine Corps as a company commander with 170 Marines. Spent the last 4 months as a, I guess you could call me an amateur vagabond, just traveling all across the country, catching up with the friends I had missed out on training for the past few years, and worked my way back to Louisville, and am now back home.
I might have to hit pause and gather myself. Like, I didn't know any of that stuff. You know, yeah. Maybe it's my jaded Generation X middle-agedness. I never think that some kid's going to come in here and say, oh, yeah, I commanded 177 people and we went to Afghanistan when he did all this stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't do that in my 20s, trust me. I did a lot of stuff, but none of it was responsible. So kudos to you for,
Thank you.
Contributing. That's great. So you're used to leading people, I assume.
Yep, correct.
Did you go into the Marines as a leader, or do you think they made you a leader?
You know, that was a big reason for joining the Marine Corps was I wanted to gain that leadership, and going into an entry-level job straight out of college, you're not going to get that.
No.
So.
No. So you just, you went to college though?
I did.
Okay. Where'd you go to school?
So, went to Miami of Ohio. Yeah, I know you're a Ball State
guy. I'm a Ball State guy. But my nephew goes to Miami.
Okay.
So he's the one I was talking about who was... Were we off mic when we were talking about that? Oh.
I think so.
Oh, okay. Golly, man, everything's starting to run together. So, you know, what I have no... the only I don't harbor any ill will toward Miami of Ohio, except for they didn't let me in.
Okay.
Well, see, I applied to two schools. Ball State took me. Miami didn't. And the rest is history. But I love my Ball State education. I love the 4 years I spent there. So, and I watched the first game in our basketball arena was, of course, against Miami of Ohio, our bitter rival, if you have one of those in the MAC. But we won. So, suck it.
Hey.
You know, that was 1991, maybe.
Okay.
I think. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think right now, athletically, our only claim to fame is our pride and joy hockey team.
Okay. Well, you know, Ohio is the bastion of hockey in the United States. All right, so you get out of high school. You went to high school here.
Correct.
Okay, where?
St. X.
Okay, St. X. You go to so my nephew went to St. X too. That's crazy. Like, you're all following some sort of career track.
See, maybe
he's not going into the Marines.
I was going to say, maybe you need to tell him, give me a call, and I'll lead him down the right path.
Moving to Chicago to live the good life as you know, 22-year-old kid making way too much more money than he should. But I've met lots of people like that, and they turned out just fine. So, go Andrew. His name is also Andrew.
Look at that.
That's crazy. Anyhow. 4 years at Miami. How long were you in the Marines then?
I was in for, it was a little over 4.5 years.
Okay. And you're recently out and you decided to start a business?
So it's actually a really good story.
I'm waiting.
So
just kidding.
I come back. I'm in Louisville and I'm home for about a week for Big Blue Madness. I missed almost 2 years of Kentucky basketball, so this is my season to get back
into
it.
Also, I'm a Hoosier fan. We have nothing in common here.
Apparently. And I'm sitting up in Lexington with two of my good friends, one of the co-founders, Pat McMahon, and we're talking about, okay, well, what are you going to do next? You can only travel for so long.
Right.
Like, well, you know, I'm going to start studying for the GMAT, business school, just kind of looking for any opportunities to have an excuse not to do that. And he brought up the Groom HQ business idea that himself and the other co-founder, Chris Wiedmeyer, had come up with, but didn't have the time to really pursue it.
Were they working full-time somewhere? So they – okay.
Correct.
They were tied down to the man.
They were tied down – I wouldn't even say they were tied down to the man. They were tied down to family commitments.
Gotcha. Okay. So they were married?
So they had been
through the marriage process.
They had, yes, correct. Okay. That's where everything stemmed from.
Gotcha.
Was their experiences and all of our friends' experiences with the wedding process. And like so many good groups of friends do, they hang out at night and they sit there and they love just coming up with random business ideas and any type of creative outlet that involves a little too much beer.
So you're talking with these guys.
Correct.
And are you married?
I'm not married.
Getting married? Dating?
I think what you could call me, based on my experiences over the past 4 years, 5 years, is the professional groomsman.
Gotcha.
I've been a part of number of weddings. Okay. I got a closet full of Joseph A. Bank catalog suits.
Okay.
And I got probably about a half dozen flasks for every occasion.
But you do have experience in dealing with your buddies who are going through this.
Not only do I have the experience with them, but I got the experience with their now wives looking at me and telling me to get my friend Zach together because he's got to get this done.
I see. So really, here I'm thinking through this, you know, I took the Lean Launchpad training, so I'm hip to how this whole thing works. So I'm trying to think about, you know, I didn't spend too much time on it. Sorry. But like your customer segment. But it's really probably the bride, not the groom, based on what you just told me.
That's, see, it's interesting that you say that. is
the groom's going to go through the process, he's not going to voluntarily sign up, is he? Is he?
The bride is. If it's good for the bride, it's good for the groom.
That's amen, brother. That's true in life.
Yes.
From I do actually from. Hey, do you want to go out Saturday night? On what's good for the bride is good mm-hmm. for the groom. So, all right. Is that were you spending a lot of time asking, talking to brides, or are you talking to grooms? How are you?
We're talking to everybody.
Okay.
We spent the last two weekends in these wedding in the wedding expos, talking to anyone who is willing to talk to us. Really,
okay.
Kind of grabbing brides. Speaking with them, speaking with the bride and the groom as a couple, hanging out by the football game, grabbing grooms when they got that sullen look on their face to chat about the game and chat about their wedding experience so far.
That hangdog and sad look.
That's it. Oh, you see the deer in the headlights in every single one of them when they walk in.
And it's a Sunday afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't want to be thinking about plates and catering.
That's it.
And well, DJs.
Especially the one we went to on Friday night. Yeah, there weren't very many happy campers walking around.
Well, you know, maybe they got to go get wings and beer afterwards. Maybe that's how they were lured in. Okay, so this thing was born an idea that your friends had.
Correct.
Are they working on it with you?
They are.
Okay.
They are.
So, but are they still committed to other things?
Yes, they are still okay. Currently committed to other things, and we have it set in place where once we reach a certain point, they're going to come on full time.
Gotcha. Okay, that's not unfamiliar.
Yeah,
that's not the first time I've heard that. So, what was your experience talking to the guys out at the wedding expos? Are they grateful that somebody's thinking of them? I guess.
See this. Kind of what we discovered with the guys that are going through the process is that the process is so foreign to them, and it's something that they never considered as they were growing up, that they really don't know what they should be doing. They don't know how they should be doing it. They're just waiting to be told to do something.
Yes.
And if they're not told to do something, then they're not going to take any proactivity to make that process any easier. Okay. So it's one of those, you don't know what you don't know till you go through the ringer, you come out the other side, mm-hmm. and then you know everything,
yep.
but you kind of want to forget about it.
Yeah.
So you have this whole cycle every year of men who get through the process, and now they know their lessons learned, but there's no connection to these guys who are about to go through the process who have no idea what they're really getting themselves into.
Well, do you have a product or do you have a concept right now?
Currently, right now, we're in concept.
Okay. Walk us through what this thing is supposed to do. I guess that's probably a logical question to ask.
That is a logical question to ask.
So Groom HQ does give us the pitch, I guess. That's usually my first question.
Yep. Groom HQ is your virtual best man. But Groom HQ is a free, I got to reiterate that, free
okay.
web-based service. To provide tools, articles, blog posts for grooms to be able to accomplish their tasks. But at the same time, we're going to provide support and advice. So any problem that you run into throughout this wedding planning process, we'll be able to help guide you to finding the right answer.
Is that through like content? Is it crowdsourced content where you have people who have gone through it in the past who may be writing blogs or doing videos or – God forbid a podcast or two.
About. Correct. It's going to be both.
Okay.
It's going to be experts coming in and giving their advice based on their subject matter, as well as stories and experiences from grooms of the past that now these guys run into problems. They type in what that problem is, and all of a sudden, you know, five or six examples of how other men who have gone through the process have dealt with it, what worked, what didn't work.
Okay. So I'm assuming if this thing is free to the user, this is an advertising-based solution.
Right now, we do not have advertising anywhere in our revenue model.
Really?
Correct.
Okay. So?
So revenue would be generated through vendors.
Okay.
The other part of this is we will have a web dashboard specifically for attire, groomsmen gifts, honeymoon planning, and bachelor party planning. And you will be able to go to that and pick exactly what you need. And you're done.
Okay.
So if you know...
So it's an affiliate sort of situation.
That's exactly it. It's an affiliate programs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're essentially the funnel, a sales funnel for these guys.
We are.
For the companies that... Yeah.
That's it. We're trying to eliminate the whole, I got to do research. I got to go to different tuxedo places. I got to talk about different suits. I got to match up with what my bride is doing. I'm not real sure what website's reliable to... Everything that I want is right here on this one page, and it's filtered exactly for what I'm looking for,
mm-hmm.
and I can pick exactly what I want, and I can action on it right there.
It's been a while since I went through the process of getting married. We got married in 2001, and it was a tumultuous summer for us. We got engaged in January and married in November. So, you know, I don't know if that's a long or short engagement. I don't, maybe it's average. I don't know. But it was... It was a whirlwind process getting that whole thing planned. And my wife listens to this show, and she's probably going to give me a little bit of business about what I'm about to say.
Okay.
And it's probably because I don't remember. It was a rough year for us. It was mm-hmm. just – it was a rough year. So there was a lot going on. The one thing that I remember wanting – well, bachelor party is one thing. And I think I had I did a couple of different things, but I just wanted to pick out my tuxedo. That's all I wanted. And you can't care about the rest of it. This has nothing to do with your product. This is my own experience, and maybe you'll learn from this. This
is
customer discovery.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
In real time here. I wanted to buy suits. I wanted to get suits instead of renting a tux.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, this is a dark suit. Black suit. You got to have one in your closet. Every man needs to have a black suit for weddings, for funerals, for every for whatever. You know, maybe you want to decide to be a banker. Well, that didn't fly. So I wanted to pick, I'm like, all right, fine. I'll just get a tuxedo. And I picked it up. I had to change my shirt. I couldn't go. I'm a tie and cummerbund guy. Well, that wasn't fashionable at the time. I didn't get to do anything. That's the one thing that I cared about.
That's it.
Are you running across that where you're providing a platform for guys to do stuff,
mm-hmm.
are they going to have permission to use the tool that you're handing them?
See, that's it. And it's not just about the groom and him being able to simply accomplish these tasks, but now it's about the bride kind of having the confidence and the oversight to task the groom for maybe more than what she was willing to do in the first place,
okay.
because she knows she'll be able to control it, but at the same time, not be so intrusive that there's causing friction between the relationship.
Well, as long as she gets the password.
Well, that's part of it. bride oversight on attire, honeymoons, and a few other of the tasks.
Oh, man.
That'll be a part of it.
Whose idea was that?
Oh, that was from the start. We realized there was going to have to be something to do to give brides input. Otherwise,
right. Yeah, I mean this is an enormous industry.
Enormous.
Yeah, I mean tons of potential, and you'd think there's no room for anything like that, mm-hmm. but there is. I mean, you guys, if you're proving that there's room for new ideas above and beyond the wedding show and the services you can provide. I started a business that lasted, I don't know, all of 3 months or something at one point because I wanted to – I'm a guitar player. I've written enough songs in my life where I think I could probably do that. So when we moved into our house that we live in now, I built a little recording studio in the basement. My whole business was to take people's stories, get to know them a little bit over one or two conversations, get to know their story about how they met, and write the song of them. And they would continually be my inspiration where, everybody's got a story about how they met and certain, experiences they had. Well, it's easy to throw together four chords and, some drums and all that. It's easy to do that stuff. Writing the lyrics is tough and getting the inspiration is hard. So I did wedding shows and this is the podcast about me, by the way, this week. everybody's noticing that, I'm sure. I may have sold a couple of songs to people I knew, but I came to find out, because this is a new idea, and I did those wedding shows, mm-hmm. and people were like, oh my gosh, that's great. that's such a neat idea. And it's like $500 or something for a song.
And that's pretty good.
What's that? I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's a song about you. You get the rest of your life. Mm. You kidding me? And, of course, you got, you know, 10 CDs to go with it. You get a nice little package. What I came to find out the hard way, no customer discovery. Like, I didn't know any about any of this at that. This was a long time ago. I was the first booth that they might visit because I had music and it was. And then they go around, they talk to the catering guy and they talk to the dress person and they talk to, you know, the table linen, all the other stuff you need. And all of a sudden, the budget is entirely spoken for. And there's no room for $500 for a song, even though that would be absolutely the most memorable thing about it.
Oh, yeah.
But I should have known. I mean, I just got cut out of the budget. Anyhow, I should have run that on the canvas, but the canvas didn't exist back then.
The true cost of a wedding is something I don't think either the bride or the groom realizes until they've spent a couple weeks doing the research, that's
right.
For sure.
Right. You think, I mean, you read articles, hey, you can get married for $5,000 or something. Yeah. Uh-huh. Two tickets to Vegas. That's about it. And a hotel for 3 days, a nice hotel, I guess, for $5,000. I don't know. I don't go to Las Vegas. It's not my thing. So you get back here, you talk with your friends. What year was this? When was this?
This was in November.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how recent this was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know this is...
You threw me off again.
Pat gave me the spiel on the idea. I told him, I'm like, that sounds, you know, I've had the experience with all the different weddings, being a part of them, and I know all the problems that go into it. So I'm like, well, let me think about this for a little bit. Started doing a little research, and then that was when we stumbled upon these whole accelerator startup programs. And
what? I'm sorry to interrupt. What did you study at Miami?
So finance.
Okay. So you, all right, you have some numbers up in your brain that you can think about.
That. I do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was a question I should have asked before.
Well, the other thing was I was 2 credit hours shy of my entrepreneurship minor.
Okay.
So I'm also thinking in those terms, but...
You can make that up online, can't you?
Absolutely.
Come on.
But that, I mean, I'm from the old business plan era.
Gotcha.
And no one had ever heard of it. I didn't know what a business model canvas was. The first time I'd seen anything about it was on the application for the Velocity startup program.
So that's kind of where I'm going with this line of questioning. Is in November you talk to your buddies, you think about it, and November of just a couple months ago?
Correct.
Okay. Wow. And then you hear about the accelerators, Velocity being one of them, I assume. And so
yes.
What was that process like?
So, I mean, I considered the application pretty intensive, but I, at that point, still...
I thought the Miami of Ohio application was intensive. That's why I didn't get in. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that was, well, it was a lot more intensive than the Ole Miss, which was the essay, is there anything else that we need to know about you?
Oh, nice. Well, I like long walks on the beach.
Exactly.
And I like tiramisu after a night of drinking. Anyhow, go ahead. Velocity application.
So Velocity Intense. Application. Didn't know what the lean startup process was. So I have to, you know, I read the articles on it and all that. And... Before I kind of, being a perfectionist is I don't want to turn this application in until I've talked to somebody.
Okay.
And, you know, I've talked with Pat. I've talked with Chris. We like where everything's at, but we agree that, you know, we need someone else who's on the inside to kind of steer us in the right direction.
Okay. Like a mentor. Okay.
Like a mentor.
Or a drill sergeant.
Sorry. Oh.
Whatever.
Yeah. So it turns out that we knew through a friend of a friend, we had a connection into the program with Hollis, who's the office manager there. Mm-hmm. And I contacted her to sit down for coffee just to be like, what's the scoop on Velocity? You know, you've seen these applications before. What's going on? So we talked about the idea for about a half hour, and she's like, I got someone that you need to meet. So she gives me Greg Langdon's information. Mm-hmm. I shoot him an email about 5 minutes after my meeting with Hollis.
Sure.
2 hours later, I'm sitting down at my third Heine Brothers of the day.
You bet. That's where business gets done around here, I guess.
Exactly. Oh. And I'm having a conversation with Greg about Groom HQ, Velocity, the whole, and giving him the whole spiel.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was pretty confident with at least maybe not our chances, but I was confident with sending in the application.
So that's a living example of the accessibility of influencers in Louisville.
It's unbelievable.
And next thing you know, they're writing you a check for, what's it, $20,000 or something?
$20,000.
Okay. Yeah. So that's your job now, right?
That's my job now.
Okay. No other job?
No other
job. You're
not
doing anything else?
I'm not doing anything else. Everything is going off
Living off the government.
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
Yep.
We all do at some point in our lives, but you earned it. You earned it. Okay. So what have you – you've been in there for what, 2 weeks or something?
Correct. Yeah, we're on week three now.
What is it about the idea that has changed in those 3 weeks?
Man, it has morphed. It was the original concept was just this one dashboard and an easy way to buy your attire, rent your attire, your groomsmen gifts, and then bachelor parties and honeymoons. And that was it. That was going to be our niche.
Okay.
And after, you know, different conversations with different mentors and being inspired every day and my mind just getting blown with the amount of good information that comes in is...
Isn't that crazy? Like, people are out there trying to start a business with no information like that.
I know.
And they're like, no, this is it. This way. Now, I'm not – it's been said on this podcast before. Some people think the lean method is a little wishy-washy. Like, at some point, as Andy Swan says, at some point you're just right about your project or about your product. And you know what it's supposed to do, and you know who it's supposed to be for, and you just got to go with that and stop letting people tell you what to do. So.
You do got to do that, but you still have to test it. Just because you know who it's for doesn't mean that you're going to approach them the right way.
Yeah.
So until you get something out there and they get hands-on and they start playing with it, you really don't know what direction it's going to go. Maybe it's just a matter of you got to put a button, change it from a green button to a blue button, and next thing you know, your whole target market just explodes.
Oh, God, the green-blue thing just killed me. Just kidding. Okay, so you have a different product or service sitting here today, 3 weeks after you've been to several wedding shows.
It really is just expanded from what everybody wanted to what we realized is what they need, what grooms need is a comfortable, safe place to get the information they need about wedding planning. They need tools to accomplish their tasks. And they need some type of support system when they run into a problem. They may not want to go to their best friend and talk about how they can't figure out what to do when the bride and the groom's mothers continue to argue about what dress they wear. Right. And because of that, his bride-to-be is driving him crazy. Like, no one wants to hear about that in the group of friends. But you come to us, we got the information, we provide you the support, and we give you a way to some way mitigate that situation. Like, that's how full-on we are.
You know what you might need? Incentive. Give them a prize for completing their tasks in a timely manner.
Gamify it, absolutely.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So at the end of it, you know, like, have you picked out your tux? Yes. You know, I have 3 days to do that. I'm considering this. And once your task is completed, boom, $25 gift card to, I don't know, we don't have a Dave and Buster's here, but something like that.
That's it.
I know.
We're as easy as, hey, all your groomsmen paid for their suits, have them tried on, and everyone has it in the mail to be delivered, you know, a week before the target date.
Yep.
Guess what? Now you get 15-20% off your groomsmen gifts.
Right. Or a guy's night out at Buffalo Wild Wings or something. So, yeah, gamify. That's really a word that they put on that?
That's a word.
I guess so. I guess people have made a lot of money with gamifying things. I'm potifying your life right now. Anyhow. All right, so you're 3 weeks into Velocity with an idea that has been in existence since November.
It's correct.
What is, looking down the road, do you even have like a timeline or a roadmap of when you want to have certain things completed? And you have a website up. It's just a sign-up form at this point, like a launch page.
That's it.
Like, do you have goals set for, we want to have something up and running by May 31st, and we need to have this thing and have – I mean, are you that far down the road yet?
I want to have some type of revenue generated in the next 2 weeks. That's a lofty goal, but the landing page that's up right now, that original goal was set for January 31st.
Okay.
And since that landing page, we now actually were on version 2 with a designer.
With the blue button.
With the blue button and the green button.
And it's working.
That I met through Open Coffee, through mentors, through pitching the product and okay. asking for something. And then people actually listen to you and say, I have the perfect person you need to talk
okay,
to.
Okay, so you're working with a developer. Is that outside of Velocity? Or
outside of Velocity, okay. correct.
Since you have none of those skills, and I assume your other two co-founders have no development skills.
We did bring on a technical co-founder, but he's our back-end developer, front-end developer, architecture guy,
okay.
but not the creative design piece to make everything, you know, gotcha. Look and feel fancy and tangible and that fantastic like user experience.
So. You want to make a groom feel, you know, handsome.
Exactly.
We're not all handsome in a tuxedo. I don't care what you say. Some people are just too fat to wear a tuxedo. You just don't look good.
You got to hide it without that cummerbund then.
Or the are you the one person I think, and this is terrible, looks terrible in a suit, and maybe it's because he's wearing the wrong suit. It's like Michael Jordan. Maybe it's just because he's too tall. He just picks the worst suits out. This has, again, nothing to do with your product. I'm all over the place.
But
today,
he goes for the old school. He never wears like the slim fit.
Yes.
It's just always so baggy.
Yeah, it's just enormous, this mm-hmm. thing. And he's a big person anyway. It just sort of emphasizes his tallness or his enormity, I guess. Anyhow, Michael Jordan, how to get off on that? So, okay, revenue in 2 weeks. Does that mean a functioning website in 2 weeks?
No.
Okay.
So by Monday, new landing page will be up. With that new landing page, we're trying to coincide it with an email and a newsletter campaign.
Gotcha.
And this is where we start establishing our value. So once we get signed up, you put in your wedding date, we're going to start feeding you information that you may not need it tomorrow, but at some point during this process, mm-hmm. even if you just skim over it, it's going to resonate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to run into a situation. You're going to say, I have the answer to that.
Okay.
Or I know where to find the answer. I just got to dig through my inbox, or I just got to run back to this website real quick and check it out.
Who are you working with from a mentor basis then? How does that work over there? Are there different people coming in and out, or is it one person that takes the lead with you?
So the first couple weeks is, they call it the mentor meetups, is they, I mean, just I don't, kind of throw mentors at you kind of to see who clicks with who,
gotcha.
Who lines up industry-wise, advice-wise. And then from there, you kind of decide, you know, what role will that person play in the development of your product or of your service down the line, even after the program. So what's been really funny, I was telling Tony Shy this last Thursday, was I go, Tony, I don't know how you did it, but every time that night I go home and I'm thinking about something and I have a problem with something, that next day the mentor is set up perfect to solve that problem for
mm-hmm.
me.
Okay.
And he goes, that was completely fluke by accident. We did not mean to do that at all.
Yeah, but hey, but, you know, take some credit, man.
Absolutely.
Come on, T-Shy, own up to it, baby. You're doing good things.
So yeah, it's covered the gamut of having a discussion about how to work together as a team, and how the different roles with each team member are going to play going forward, what investor is going to be looking for from us, to
investors. I mean, are you completely set on taking on investment money at this point, like doing your pitch, or do you think that you're just going to generate some revenue and bootstrap this sucker from this point?
Everyone's always willing to sit down and listen to anyone who wants to invest some money.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
There's nothing wrong with listening.
No, there's nothing wrong with listening. I suppose you're right. I didn't mean to interrupt again. But that's what a good interviewer does.
It is.
Interrupts all the time. No.
See, now I'm thinking about Michael Jordan again.
I'm sorry. And, okay, so do you settle on one mentor eventually? Or
no.
So it's just people firing questions at you all the time. Is it – I guess – it's so new. Like you don't have this set in your head. Some people carry around ideas for years before they do anything with them. And by the time they sit down to somebody who can influence the way that they're thinking, it might become a little, I don't know if humiliating is the right word, where people are just telling you, well, you were wrong about that. You were wrong about this. You're wrong about this. You're wrong. So it can become somewhat of a negative experience. Mm-hmm. Has it been that for you, or are you just
in the one-on-one mentor meetings that I've had? I have not had that negative experience at all.
But not that they're trying to be negative.
No, not at all.
They would never. I mean, they're there to help.
Criticism.
Yeah, you bet. But you know, if somebody's been carrying around an idea for long enough, to be like, no, whoa, no, I've thought this out, man. I've thought this all out. I know everything. So I could see where that could go wrong.
It's more along the lines of they kind of start getting excited about what they can do and how they can help, and they start throwing different ideas at you, and you're like, oh my God, this is so much information right now. I can't process it all, but it's all just great stuff that you want to capture it all right there and throw it into the business, but you can't do that.
Okay.
You got to figure out what's going to work for me now, what's going to work for me 6 months from now, and how can I take this conversation that I just had and then implement that, you know, at a later date without losing its value.
When I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, because when I did Startup Weekend about a year ago, we had an idea and we got up, and one of the judges says, you know, you're one decision away from being obsolete. Like the competitor could say, we're going to do that, and then boom, we're off the map. And that was an eye opener. Like you're trying to think how to differentiation and like how you can set yourself apart. I guess, and when I got married, it was all magazines. Like when I got engaged, I gave my wife a copy of the Martha Stewart Wedding Planning Magazine or something. And that was sort of and I wrapped it up anyhow. I'll tell you my whole romantic story later.
Room HQ would have advised you to go in a different direction at that point.
And no, it worked. But there was nothing, like even The Knot was not online in 2001 that I can remember to any great degree. It was well before Web 2.0, and it would have just been a static HTML website, and it would have been awful. But what's preventing them from just saying, hey, here's our – maybe they already have it. I don't know. Here's our groom's corner.
Have it.
Do they?
It's there.
Okay.
Go to it, and although I wouldn't recommend it if you're epileptic, because it is just stimulus overload.
Oh, I'll bet. Okay.
And that's a big problem. And I was actually talking to a friend last night. She's like, well, are you all trying to become the Knot for men? And I go, no. It's not going to be like that. Everything we are trying to do is all based around user experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one for us. She goes, good, because every time I go to any of those websites, I feel like my head's going to explode.
Too much is too much.
Correct.
This is like a flood of information and, like you said, stimulus.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, your virtual best man, you just tell us exactly what problem you have and we will get you the answer. And it won't be link after link after link after link. It'll be here's what you need to know, down and dirty. And if we recommend something, you know, whether you choose to go there or not, I don't know, but it won't be 12 different links, 12 different blogs from the female to the male perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
A solution provider for grooms. I don't know. I'm trying. Yeah. I'm gamifying in my head. Just kidding. Okay. So groomhq.com is the website.
That is the website.
At this point, people can sign up for if you're getting married or if you just want to try this thing out.
Or considering getting married.
You're signing up. My 4-year-old son is not. He tells us repeatedly, I don't want a wife. Good for him.
But you can have him sign up a year from now, and he should be able to use the website. It's so user experience friendly.
Oh, nice. So easy a 4-year-old could use it.
Exactly.
And then is Twitter? Are you tweeting?
Twitter.
How do people find you?
It's at @groom_HQ.
Okay.
We're also at Facebook at groomhq.
Yeah. I would think that's a big one for you guys. Mm-hmm. It's where the peeps are. Of course, you know, I read all the time that teenagers don't like Facebook. They're not hanging out on Facebook. And I don't know if that's true or that's not. I haven't seen any data to refute that or to support it or whatever the deal is. But
apparently it's become the uncool thing to do. They're all on Snapchat and Flickr, and I probably don't even
Flickr.
Know I don't even know the social media that they're out on these days.
Neither do I, and they probably like it that way. And quite frankly, so do I, because I don't. Anyhow, Well, listen, thank you for making the trip out. It's a snowy day today as we're recording this, and a lot of people had to stay home today. So thank you for sucking it up and coming on out here, man.
Appreciate you having me.